was expecting Das Panzerlied. Who listens to this?
Ob Sturm oder Schneit und die Sonne uns lacht.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, welcome to the David Duke Show. Without
Gentile.
We have got David Duke. He's tied up and he's in the back room. And Mark Bankoff and I, we're taking over the show. We're hijacking the show. And we're taking it.
And the FBI is looking for me because yesterday I was on the Islamic Republic of Iran news network for 1 hour discussing American presidents over time. So if there's a knock, if you hear a knock at my car door, you'll know that I've been apprehended.
Okay, and American presidents over time, you know, there is one more spot on Mount Rushmore. Is that going to be Trump or Biden? Who's going to be up there? Or maybe Kamala.
It could be Kamala. You know, who knows? I mean, the thought of having to make those kinds of choices, either for Mount Rushmore or in the ballot box, is a little queasy. But I don't know. Maybe you or I'll get there.
Maybe in some weird alternative universe. While we're on the subject, you know, a year ago or so, you were suggesting people register as Democrat and vote for Joe, what's the guy's name, RFK Jr. in the Democratic primary. Of course, he wound up not running in the Democratic primary. But what's your assessment right now? If a pollster called you today and started asking you questions about who you would vote for, how would you answer it?
I would tell him that I was contemplating suicide. I would not counsel anyone to vote for RFK at this point, certainly, because obviously with his burgeoning alliance that became public with the rabbi, what's that guy's name? Shmuley Boteach and the Shabbat Lubavitch people. I respectfully decided that Mr. Kennedy would not be a good alternative protest vote for me. And that the remaining two options, the only choice I have this fall, I will hold my nose and I will vote for Donald Trump. I want to make that clear. I don't want Kamala Harris to win this election. But with that understanding, I think we're in a lot of trouble in regard to the next phase of World War III with either one of these candidates. But I'm going to have to go for Trump, at least before the Third World War. Nobody's going to be coming after my beer and gun collection. That's the basic difference between Trump and Harris, and that I'll be allowed to. I did have a will in the last year drawn up, seriously. And signed, sealed, and delivered. My German beer mugs will go to the German American Society in Omaha, Nebraska, in memory of my parents. My firearms have been bequeathed to the children of an old friend. And my library is going to go to Cross of Christ Lutheran Church in Universal City, Texas. They'll have a library that will be a rival to any seminary library in the country, but only after I'm dead. So I hope that that's a while yet. Although if World War III does transpire, then all of these people will lose out on what little I have to give away because all of us will be crispy critters. So that's kind of my assessment of this. And I know in terms of the Duran yesterday that Glenn Deason and Alexander Mercuris and the Alistair Crookie, the longtime British diplomat, they did a show I have not yet listened to talking about the inevitability of war. What's that?
I did listen to it.
Well, what did you think of it? I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet.
Well, Crook is very interesting to listen to. So he's not 100% like to recap, and the thing is, I binge listen to so much of this stuff that sometimes I get confused who said what on what show. But he's not. While he sees it being very difficult to avoid a war between Israel and Iran, he's not 100% pessimistic because he doesn't see any chance of Israel actually prevailing. Well, before we move on, I want to go back to the election just briefly. So I did get called up by pollsters a couple nights ago, and they asked me, and I said I'd vote for Jill Stein. And they said, okay. Well, yeah, I did. And
if the election...
I would vote for that, the Jewish lady, just simply based on she's the only person who's making any kind of rational objection to the genocide in Israel. I mean, it's a little bit, maybe she's a little Chomsky-esque in her rationale for it, but still, I'll take that. Okay. When asked whether between Trump and Harris, I really had to think about it. And I did begrudgingly say Trump, but I likely will vote for Jill Stein. I voted for Jill Stein in 2012, as I recall, when it was between Obama and Romney. And I would vote for Jill Stein at this point because even though in most ways I prefer Trump to Harris because Harris is just like a disgraceful whore and stupid, but and wrong on everything. And wrong on everything. But
how do you really feel?
But Trump is being so gung-ho about supporting Israel.
I know, it's sipping.
Unapologetically. And, you know, if it's going to be war with Iran, no thank you. No thank you. I will. And so the last thing I'm going to say is I have been trying to get David to endorse Jill Stein on air. I've made a couple of efforts. I made an effort again yesterday. He came close, but he didn't quite go there. He said, you know, I said, would you invoke, because I think it would be funny. I think it would be funny for him to endorse a Jewish lady. And maybe he will, but I'm working on that. So regarding, yes.
If you can get David to do that, you'll be the evangelist of the century.
I think it would be funny.
I was just thinking, maybe we could find out where Ms. Stein lives and do a campaign endorsement on her front lawn or something. I think that would really thrill her.
To tell you the truth, earlier this year, I was going to go to a little Jill Stein meetup, and there weren't very many people there. And the thing is, I had to record a show with Jeremy. And so I record the show with Jeremy, and then I go down to where the meetup was supposed to be, and there was like a half a dozen guys sitting in a bar, and there was no Jill Stein. And I said, well, where's Jill Stein? She says, oh, she left early. There was nobody here. She was tired, and she left early. So I missed, and I refer to that as my blind date. I had a blind date with her, but at any rate, I do have a blind. I had a blind date this summer, though. It was a blind lady. And I had to lead her around by the hand. And if you're holding hands with somebody, then I guess it qualifies as a date. So that's my blind date. Don't tell my wife.
Don't worry, I won't. I never talk. Yeah. Hey, I'm a Lutheran pastor, albeit retired. I hold many secrets. I've never betrayed one. I've never used one in any blackmail situation either, although my finances are such that maybe I'll give up my confessional oath and blackmail a few people to get some money in.
Yeah.
So okay. Anyway.
I want to ask you, though. You had an hour-long interview on the Iranian news agency. Tell us a little bit about that. What were they asking you about?
Well, they, of course, told me in advance what they were interested in. And what they were interested in was a look at the criminal activities of some of our more recent presidents in regard to assassinations, coup d'etats, illegal discretionary wars, that sort of thing. And I said, sure, I can help you guys with that. So they gave me a list that really went from the Bush Empire and Bill Clinton to Obama and Trump and now Biden. And what I did was when I came on, and I knew with the various things they wanted to discuss that we would be a while at the whole thing. So what I did was I went back in American history briefly, well before the era that they wanted to talk about. And I guess they did want to talk about Truman and Eisenhower as well, by the way. I forgot those. But what I did was I took Abraham Lincoln and I took Woodrow Wilson and FDR and pointed them to some articles for their viewers who speak English, so they wouldn't be watching that segment. And I said, these are the things you need to read about those three American presidents, because they basically set the foundation for the entire ideology of American exceptionalism and American involvement in foreign wars and the Federal Reserve Board and sovereign national debt and all the rest of this stuff. So I gave a brief overview.
So you said Wilson, FDR, and who was the third one?
Abe Lincoln, Woodrow Wilson, and FDR, and I pointed them to Thomas DiLorenzo's book, The Real Lincoln, and a book review that I had written of that book, which would be a good place to get an overview of what I was referring to. On Woodrow Wilson, I referred them to an article on Jewish control of American presidents. It was a series that the UNS Review had, and I think Carl Hamers wrote the one on Woodrow Wilson, and I mentioned several articles that David Stockman has done on Woodrow Wilson that have appeared on Lou Rockwell, that those would greatly enhance their understanding of what a diabolical presidency Woodrow Wilson really had. And then FDR, of course, was the last one. And I reminded them of my infamous paper that was presented before the Hibillion Association of Iran in 2013 and in the American Free Press Conference down here in Austin, where I talked about FDR and Pearl Harbor as the basic prototype of the future way, potentially, in which there would be a Zionist war launched against Iran. So with that brief overview, we then went into the American presidencies that they had a great deal of interest in. We talked about Harry Truman in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We talked about Ike Eisenhower with principal focus on Operation Ajax in 1953, the British MI6 American CIA operation that overthrew Mossadegh of Iran, and Ike's authorization of that. In the way in which that set the stage for everything that followed over many years, including the Guatemalan coup that overthrew Arbenz in 1954, and a series of other things going into contemporary times that their viewers would be able to identify with. So let's see. Then we got a little bit into John Kennedy, only in terms of what he inherited in regard to this Bay of Pigs operation that went south. We discussed the Kennedy assassination just long enough to get the plug-in for Michael Collins Piper's book, Final Judgment, and to point people to Laurent Guyonneau's work on the Israeli connection to the assassination of Kennedy. And I used that opportunity to say that this is not simply a question of what these guys do in countries like yours. This is a prime example of what they've done here. So I hit that with some degree of strength. Go ahead.
I just want to ask real fast. So you mentioned Michael Collins Piper's book, Final Judgment, which is an assertion that, I haven't read it myself, but as I understand it, it's an assertion that the Mossad was instrumental in killing Kennedy. Is that what he says? And is that what you, Mark, is that what you think?
Yes, that's what Mike said, and that's what I believe as well. And I'll give you the brief synopsis of this, of the book. If you take more excellent but more conventional works on the Kennedy assassination, take, for example, Anthony Summers' book, Conspiracy, which was later issued in a new edition as Not in Your Lifetime. Summers presents all the compelling evidence as to the various players in three or four different constituencies that were involved in the killing of Kennedy. And, of course, he's talking about an element of the CIA. He's talking about the anti-Castro Cuban exile community and certain organized crime figures in the United States that link to those activities. All of that is sound, I believe. Piper does not contradict any of that. He simply adds to it. He demonstrates that in 1963, that Kennedy and David Ben-Gurion were involved in a real beef over what Israel was claiming to be a desalinization project in the Negev, which we know as the Dimona nuclear plant. And Kennedy had the evidence that it was a nuclear operation because my father's outfit, the Air Force Technical Applications Center, took the pictures of the site that subsequently went to Kennedy. Anyway, that's another story. But Piper goes on to demonstrate that Meyer Lansky was not simply one of a number of American crime syndicate figures who had a vested interest in reclaiming what Lansky had lost in Havana with the overthrow of the Batista regime. But Meyer Lansky, as it turns out, was Franklin Delano Roosevelt's liaison between the American OSS and organized crime on the one hand,
Meyer Lansky of Murder Incorporated, is that who we're talking about, the Jewish
gangster?
That's
right. That's exactly right. A guy who had an indirect role in years following in helping to finance John McCain's political career through McCain's second wife, whose father, Jim Hensley, was a bagman for Meyer Lansky in the state of Arizona and went to prison to take a rap to keep Lansky free. That is all a part of the Piper book, by the way. But the long and the short of it is that the beef between Kennedy and Ben-Gurion over getting American and international inspection of what the Israelis were doing at Dimona, that as well as some compelling things that involved Kennedy's ideas about eventually moving monetary policy back to the Congress and getting rid of the Fed, Piper argues that those were major factors in the Israeli role in the assassination. And the interesting thing is all of Mike's research checks out that Meyer Lansky and David Ben-Gurion had a direct link to James Jesus Angleton, who had a definite motive in wanting to get rid of Kennedy, and that Angleton, of course, was very, very close to the State of Israel at that, he was very much pro-Israel to a fault, and that Lansky and Ben-Gurion had a dual motivation. In Lansky's case, he was quite willing to help retaliate against Kennedy after the Bay of Pigs, because Lansky and some of the people that Summers mentions in his book, Conspiracy, people like Sam Giancana, Johnny Roselli, Santos Traficante, these different crime figures that were linked up to anti-Castro Cuban exile activities. These gangsters, several of whom had direct links to Jack Ruby, also known as Jacob Rubenstein, of the Sonneborn Institute here in Texas, which was a Zionist gun-running operation in the 1940s. Yes.
And by the way, Jack Ruby, who shot Lee Harvey Oswald, the alleged assassin of...
Exactly.
And
yes, yeah. Just so the people understand these links here, and that Jack Ruby was a Zionist gunrunner in the 1940s. He had been in the United States Army Air Corps, along with another name that our listeners may know, Frank Sturgis, of both Kennedy assassination and Watergate fame. He and Ruby were a part of this gun-running operation. And Ruby, whose real name was Jacob Rubenstein, check that out, in conjunction with the Sonneborn Institute. And one will see that the infamous killer of Lee Harvey Oswald was deeply involved in Israeli intelligence activities and Israeli gun-running in the 1940s. And that's where the Meyer Lansky link comes in with both the Israelis as well as these other crime syndicate figures who were very familiar with Jack Ruby. Giancana in Chicago, Johnny Roselli in Miami, Santos Traficante, I believe, in Louisiana. There's probably one other one that I have left out here. But nonetheless, Lansky was the most vested of these people in terms of mob activities in the Batista era in Cuba. Lansky, obviously, was himself an associate of David Ben-Gurion and all of the other key people who founded the Israeli state. Lansky had a direct link to Jacob Rubenstein, that we know as Jack Ruby. And so you can begin to see that all of the excellent work that Anthony Summers did in listing these people and the constituencies that they represented and the nature of the plot that came together to kill Kennedy, this is the one area that that Summers didn't cover. That Michael
Make the world go away. Say the things you used to say, and make the world go.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
And make the world go away.
They represented, in the nature of the plot that came together to kill Kennedy, this is the one area that that Summers didn't cover, that Michael Collins Piper then jumped in to put the final touches on the whole deal, was the Lansky-Ben-Gurion link to the Kennedy assassination, both in terms of Ben-Gurion wanting to make sure that nobody was asking questions about Dimona, the whole issue of the potential eradication of the Federal Reserve Board in a second Kennedy administration was involved. Piper demonstrates that the Kennedys had earned the ire of the Israeli lobby for trying to get the American Zionist Council, which was the forerunner of the American Israeli Political Action Committee, or what we know as IPAC. The Kennedys were trying to bring the Israeli-oriented pressure groups in this country and activist groups in this country under the same strictures of the Foreign Agents Registration Act, or FARA, that all representatives of other foreign governments who are operating in this country in some political fashion have to be registered under. And that was another factor in Piper believes in what happened to Kennedy. I happen to agree with that. But when you read the links in Final Judgment between Lansky and Ben-Gurion and all of these other players who demonstrably were involved in the Kennedy assassination, this is where the Piper book is so powerful. And Laurent Guyonneau of the UNCE Review, I believe he's a Frenchman, who has written a number of articles on the Israeli link to the Kennedy assassination, and one on Jack Ruby comes to mind. Jack Ruby is Israel's smoking gun, as Guy and Ull puts it. Guy and Ull relies quite a bit on Piper's research. So that came...
You knew Piper. You knew him personally.
I knew him personally. We had done some work together, both at the American Free Press and in the old days at RBN, when I had a show on there and Mike had a show on RBN in the Stattmiller era. So I knew Mike through both of those venues. The chief individual that basically introduced me to Piper, and that it was Mark Glenn of The Ugly Truth. We did a lot of work in my early years of involvement in this, and I don't really work with Mark anymore. I talk to him about once a year just to see how he's doing. But it was through Mark Glenn that I subsequently was introduced to Michael Collins Piper, and that was, that goes back a quarter of a century ago. And the other person that I worked with as an occasional researcher was Gordon Thomas, the late author of Gideon Spies, The Secret History of the Mossad. He was an Irishman, and I did some stuff with Gordon that was never publicized, but where I was doing some occasional research work for him. So that goes back a long way. But
yeah, this. I want to ask you something. So you told the Iranian press agency yesterday that it's not just that the American intelligence community, that it's not just that they do color revolutions and overthrow governments overseas, but that they do it inside the United States. And, you know, you could mention Kennedy. You could really mention Donald Trump's first administration.
Which I did. That came up. That came up in the interview when I was discussing all of these recent presidents that they wanted to talk about with all of their both Republicans and Democrats in regard to their service of Israel.
All right.
And I brought this up on Trump.
This is what I want to specifically ask. So sure. We see that in many cases, certainly recently, but also, you know, if you're talking about the Kennedy assassination, in many cases, these color revolutions seem to be really for the benefit of Israel. You see that what's now being called the deep state, which I guess means the permanent bureaucracy of the foreign policy, defense and intelligence establishment in particular. The question I want to ask is, to what extent is this deep state, this, you know, intelligence apparatus that has the capacity to overthrow governments overseas and in the United States, to what extent is it wrapped up in Jewish power? And, you know, is this something that it started out not so much and now it is, or what? What's your assessment of that? Because very few people would be willing to answer this honestly.
Yes, and I answered it honestly, basically saying that it has always had, especially, I said, and this is where I got back to Woodrow Wilson. I said, the reason I wanted to bring him into this discussion, I said to these folks, is that when you look at what Carl Hamers in particular has researched on Woodrow Wilson, that does not come out with David Stockman's fine work on Wilson, is this overwhelming Jewish influence and infiltration and basic control of the Woodrow Wilson administration in terms of what went on with him, both in terms of these attempts to get the League of Nations underway, the particular way in which the United States entered World War I to the detriment of everything else that followed, that this had a provable Jewish link, again, citing the Hamers article for the UNS Review. I also went on to discuss the fact that when you look at any of these presidents, more recent ones that we are familiar with, that, you know, whether you're talking about Bill Clinton's bombing of Serbia in 1999, illegitimately using NATO, or you're talking about the George W. Bush weapons of mass destruction case against Saddam that did not hold water, and the cover-up of Israel's direct involvement in 9/11, and I cited an interview I gave with...
Time you're feeling lonely, anytime you're feeling blue.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
You say you want me back again, that's the time I'll come back home to you.
Weapons of mass destruction case against Saddam that did not hold water, and the cover-up of Israel's direct involvement in 9/11. And I cited an interview I gave with Kourash Ziabar that the Russians had reproduced in Russian that gets into the argumentation for that. I said, you look at all of these different things, and I said, it's not simply a question of the role of the United States in facilitating what Israel is doing in Palestine, and ongoingly so, the way in which that is supported without question under both Republican and Democratic administrations. But I said, your viewers, your listeners need to understand that it's not simply a question of Israeli control and theft of Palestine involved here. We are talking about the creation of a world government that will destroy the nation state, independent nation state sovereignty of all nations, and that will have a centralized cabal controlling a world regime that is predominantly going to be run by a Jewish cabal and Jewish central banking, and where whether you're talking about coup d'etats, assassinations, wars, economic sanctions, or, and I emphasize this one too, cultural subversion. I hit this one very hard in regard to the Iranian situation. I said, you know, your supreme leader, I had a request from his people some years ago to write an open letter to Iranian youth about the dangers of this decadent Western culture, which I was happy to do. It's still available. And I told him, I said, Google's trying to hide some of the stuff. Use the Russian Yandex search engine and all this stuff will come up for you. But I said, you look at what Israel has been trying to subvert Iran with in terms of pornography and other underground elements of the of this cancerous Western culture. But look at the way in which they're trying to do this to Putin's Russia by subverting the Russian Orthodox Church through these organizations, you know, like Pussy Riot, for example, these Soros NGOs that finally got booted out of Russia, who were all trying to bring in LGBTQ, the most decadent art and music and so forth, available movies and so forth, in a way that would basically bring countries like Iran and Russia into the same degree of cultural decadence and rot that has enabled these people to create a passive population in the United States that has no idea of what has truly taken them over and what is truly subverting our kids through the a controlled educational system, through the pornography industry, and through an entertainment industry that is largely Jewish controlled. So I said this must be understood. This is a multi-pronged attack that Israel and their lobby in the United States are using, not simply with Iran and Russia. They've been very successful with this in the United States up to now, sadly enough. They've been very successful with this in Western Europe, and it is all designed to bring about the subversion and destruction of individual nation states and to create a world government that is predominantly controlled by an overwhelmingly Jewish cabal. And I said that's obviously something that some very good commentators on a variety of different subjects who would agree with me on some things, at least, they're never going to touch that because obviously the minute that they do, that's the end of any influence that they have, even in alt media with YouTube and all of these different outlets. So I said, but this is the core of the problem. And just simply look at the composition of the Biden administration, which is an overwhelmingly Jewish staffed administration. And the proof is right there that this is what's running the United States. This is what's buying elections. This is what controls our banking system and our entertainment industry. This is how the LGBTQ movement has infiltrated the American educational scene at every level of public education through these organizations like the National Education Association and the American Federation of Teachers, who seem to spend a lot more time trying to sexualize our children than they do to teach them basic skills in foreign languages and math and science and so forth, which is why the American educational scene is not what it once was. So mm-hmm. I said, this is a multi-phased attack. The same people have a disproportionate influence in the strategy behind this, in the power behind this, in the financing behind this to put it together. And I said, that's where there are only a handful of us in the predominantly in the American alt-right community, just a sheer handful of us who will speak out on these issues. The others that might secretly know that it's true are not going to talk about it because they have too much of a vested interest in remaining silent. Is that is the root cause.
I want to ask about that. So if in America, maybe if it's 1% of people who have any kind of understanding about Jewish power, maybe it's then a tenth of a percent who are willing to say anything. I don't know what it is, but it's very small numbers who really have any kind of decent understanding. There's a lot of people who know something's seriously wrong, but because you're not allowed to talk about it, then anybody who is going to arrive at the truth to a large extent, either they have to figure it out for themselves or they have to stumble upon really obscure writing. I mean, you know, maybe you can stumble upon the UNS review or something, but it's hard. And I have a lot of experience with Asians, and I can tell you that the Japanese elite, the Korean elite, probably the Chinese elite, I don't have as much exposure to them. But to the extent I do, they really don't understand what's going on in the United States because where would they be getting their information? They get their information from CNN. They translated CNN articles, translated New York Times articles. And, you know, I'll tell them
exactly.
Sometimes. I'll say, copying the United States and copying the Western countries did really well for you guys for 150 years or so. Don't do it any. Stop it, because our elite hate our people. You're elite. You're an elite person. Do you hate your people? No. Well, then you shouldn't be copying us. But the question I want to ask is, I know that you spent a couple of summers in Iran when you were in college, and your dad was over there as an advisor to the Shah's government. And I don't know if you've been back since then, but you do talk to Iranians. You get interviewed by them. What is your sense as to the Iranian understanding of the Jewish nature of America's ruling elite?
I think they have an excellent understanding of it. Let me give you an example, however, as to how even they have from time to time been undercut a little bit by some very sophisticated subversion. I go back to, this was 2014, I believe, 10 years ago, and there was this Iranian conference known as the New Horizons Conference, and it, for a number of years, was sponsoring the people that the Iranians considered to be the best people in journalism and political activism from the Western countries to arrive and to give these presentations on the nature of the very issue that you and I are talking about. This particular year, there was an Iranian fellow running this New Horizons conference, whose name I will mercifully omit, that had been secretly talked into keeping certain people from this conference that had already been invited and that were procuring visas to come. And in this particular case, the person that was having a disproportionate behind-the-scenes role in all of this was a guy named Gareth Porter, who for years has turned up in antiwar.com and all these other mainstream places. He, I guess you would call him a mainstream anti-war critic and a critic of American foreign policy, but he's also Jewish. And in this particular case, Gareth Porter played a disproportionate role, and it later came out to the embarrassment of the top organizers of this New Horizons conference. They were so anxious to maintain Gareth Porter as a main speaker at their conference that people that were deemed unacceptable to be there, like,
were they aware that he was Jewish? Is he obviously Jewish, or is it something that's not well known?
It's well known now, because it came out right after that conference was over.
Mm-hmm.
He had the Iranians pay his way over there. He spoke there. It only came out after the fact. When Porter returned to the United States, he then went to the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, pronounces mea culpas for having been at the conference. He released a series of confidential emails between himself and the organizer of that New Horizons conference in Tehran that actually enabled the rest of us to understand precisely what had gone on there and why certain people, especially Mark Glenn of The Ugly Truth, was demonized by Gareth Porter. Glenn had been a speaker at these conferences in the past in Tehran. Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars was another one whose name had come up in regard to being quietly blackballed from participation in that particular conference. And the idea was, anybody that thinks that Israel did 9/11, anyone who might discuss the role of Jews in American racial politics, in American racial political disturbances in the United States, was to be quietly kept from being there. Anyone who was talking about the Jewish role in hijacking American culture was to be quietly kept from that conference. And so the organizer of that conference blackballed some really good people who had no idea what was going on until it subsequently came out in the media that Gareth Porter had been working with the ADL on all of this. And Porter himself released a lot of confidential emails between himself and the conference organizer that proved that this was a conspiracy that that Porter had become involved in. There are several other big name people who would appear to have also been involved with Porter, whose names I won't use because the evidence there is circumstantial. You would know their names. Their names would be known to the general political public in the United States that follows this sort of thing. It would appear that they were trying to mainstream the conference to the extent that some of the more effective critics of the Zionist role, not simply in terms of trying to instigate war with Iran, but the people that would talk about Israel and 9/11, Israel and the Kennedy assassination, the Jewish lobby linked to the worldwide LGBTQ movement, and so forth and so on. Those were the folks that were silently undercut in terms of invitations that had been issued to them, where they responded that they would come. They were suddenly stripped off the speaker's dais without any warning whatsoever, and this, of course, was later exposed in the international media. So, if one, I don't know how much Google will carry on this now. Dr. E. Michael Jones did a brilliant front cover expose of all of this that went on in an edition called The New World Order, where you see Gareth Porter speaking at the conference with Marzieh Hashemi of Press TV. He's standing next to Porter. I don't know that she had any role in this at all, but nonetheless, she's pictured in the front cover of Culture Wars that year, that month. And when you read this and read about Porter's connections, his connections as a so-called anti-war activist, nonetheless, as a Jew, and in conjunction with these Code Pink people and Jewish Voices for Peace and all the rest of those, that crowd, they wanted to make sure that people like me weren't there, Mark Glenn, mm-hmm. David Duke, Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars, any of those types of folks that might have responded positively to the invitations that they received for this thing. There was a direct Jewish role in subverting that mm-hmm. conference through Gareth Porter, and this was public information at the time of what came out, because Porter subsequently, as E. Michael Jones put it, wanted to preserve his own mainstream respectability by subsequently going to the Anti-Defamation League and saying, boy, I'm really sorry I was there, shouldn't have been at that conference. They had a bunch of kooks running the thing, and some kooks that could have been there that weren't, and this sort of thing. It really pointed out the extent to which you do the sorts of things that David has done in his career. You've done, Patrick. I've done, Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars. You start a Mark Glenn of The Ugly Truth historically. You start getting into those kinds of things, or the kinds of things that we can talk about on Rents Radio or mm-hmm. RBN, that they did not want this kind of thing with its most responsible representatives aired at that particular conference. And this was during a period of time when the Iranians, I guess, were trying to sanitize their New Horizons conference in a way that was not the case when Ahmadinejad was the president of Iran. And it's mm-hmm. notable that, for example, David was there in one of those conferences when Ahmadinejad ran the country. But
misquoted as saying that that he wanted to wipe Israel off the map, when he said that the Ayatollah Khomeini had predicted that the regime occupying Jerusalem would vanish from the pages of history. Only have about minutes left. I have two last questions for you. We're on the subject of Iran. And, of course, all eyes have been on Iran for the past couple of weeks, waiting for the other shoe to drop. There had been the massive provocation of the assassination of Hamas, really the last elected Palestinian prime minister, Ismail Haniyeh, in Tehran. He was in Tehran for the inauguration of their new president, whose name I haven't quite wrapped my mind around. But
Pezeshkian, yes. I've been having to repeat his name, President Pezeshkian.
And what I want to ask, second, I want to ask
what do you think this war is going to start? But first, I want to ask, so why do they have a new president? They have a new president because the old president, Raisi, died in what seems to be kind of a mysterious helicopter crash. So first, are you aware of any of Iranians, especially high-up Iranians, who think that there might have been something fishy to that helicopter crash, or was it just bad weather? And then do you think that what's going to happen when the other shoe drops? Is Iran going to do some sort of attack on Israel?
Two things. In the first place, no high-level Iranian officials have spoken with me in regard to any secret suspicions they may have had as to what happened to President Raisi. I will say that several Iranian media personalities from several of their news agencies have expressed to me private misgivings about whether or not this Raisi thing was an accident or not. I will say that. The other thing that's rather amazing is that President Raisi lost his life and their foreign minister at the time.
Well, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British...
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hounds couldn't catch them down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
About whether or not this Raisi thing was an accident or not. I will say that. The other thing that's rather amazing is that President Raisi lost his life, and their foreign minister at the time lost his life in an American-built Bell helicopter from the 1970s, from the era when my dad was over there with Lockheed. And there were issues about the maintenance of that aircraft, the accessibility to American spare parts to properly keep that aircraft old as it was functioning and so forth and so on. What was the Iranian head of state, the Iranian foreign minister himself, what were they doing on an aircraft that had serious issues of age and lack of maintenance due to accessibility to American spare parts in the sanctions era? It's been an ongoing question with this. No one really knows what all may have been behind that. But on the other question that you've asked, I think Iran is going to be forced to respond in some fashion to this absolute outrage, where you have Israel and the United States saying they want to negotiate a ceasefire in Gaza, and yet Ismail Haniyeh, who was based in Qatar, who was the appointed negotiator for Hamas in regard to negotiating a ceasefire, that he is not only assassinated, he was a far more moderate leader of Hamas than the person Hania, who is now taken over from Haniyeh. And this assassination occurs, clearly Israeli-directed assassination, in Tehran during the time frame when Haniyeh is there for the inauguration of the new Iranian president, Pezeshkian. And the interesting thing is, I understand Alastair Crook was in the same building that Haniyeh was in at the time.
One of his close associates was in the same building. I don't think it was Alastair Crook.
Oh, okay. So it was one of his associates who was in the building.
Yeah.
And based upon what he described, it would appear to be the case that some sort of a projectile, missile, rocket, whatever, struck that building, as opposed to the New York Times explanation that a bomb had been planted in that building 2 months before the event took place. But at any rate, clearly an Israeli-directed assassination of the Hamas appointed negotiator on this deal based in Qatar. It's just more of the same, my friend, and I think Iran is going to have to respond. I think they will. What they do, I don't yet know.
Well, thanks for joining David Duke. But time keep looking through and listening to Eddie Arnold Records. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Sheila with Hempaste by MyNutra. Why is hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy hemp paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBA. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBA.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBA.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.